thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just a name song. And tonight's meeting is being recorded, so if we can, make sure we have microphones so we can talk all of that for ourselves. Thank you, welcome all the family meeting. Have we any apologies for tonight? No apologies? Decorations of interest? No decorations of interest. If we move on to the action sheet, we'll go through page by page. We have page one.
Page one, sir.
As well, there's
just some relation to the bus shelter on the down top of Road, Kilrenny.
Yeah, I can pass it to yourself.
Chair, I have no progress to report in relation to that. It'll be part of quite a number of bus shelter requests or changes that we are currently considering. Whenever all issues have been considered and officers have a recommendation, I'll bring that recommendation back to the committee for consideration.
Thanks
very much, Kevin. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. It remains there in bus shelters as well. Those are the Warren Point Road, which had been in the papers for a number of meetings, but it seems to have fallen off the radar screen. And the one is the Drummond Road. Do you remember that one, Kevin?
Yeah, the one on the One Point Road is similar to the previous one we spoke about. There is a bus shelter there, and the concern is that it's an enclosed bus shelter. And from an anti-social behaviour point of view, I understand there's a request to make it into an open structure. So it will be part of a number that we're currently considering. And we'll bring those back to the committee. I'm hoping to bring a report back at next month's committee with a number of recommendations in terms of the requests. And I hope that the two shelters that you refer to will be part of that. One in relation to the old Warren Point Road. And the second one is the one on the road towards Armagh Road at Drummond Road. We're at advanced stage in terms of our consultation in relation to that. There were some initial concerns from Road Service about the location, but we feel we've resolved those. And I'm hopeful, Chair, that there will be a positive recommendation coming back in relation to that one next month.
Some of the suggestions that people who are not being near the Drummond Road have actually moved from the house just down the side to also on Dapper Lane. That's a joke, Kevin.
Members,
can we
then page 2? Or Councillor Kern, sorry.
Just one page 2 here. As far as that person is concerned about that, the plan is to attend the next meeting of the community planning. When is that meeting going? When is that meeting taking place? Because I think this is a very important issue in relation to members of clients now, where cultural conservation and tourism are things together to make our villages more, and others. Three, like a bowl, and tell the other, what do you mean? When is that being considered at next meeting?
Sorry, this was a question in relation to the community planning partnership meeting the next
year.
Right. I'm afraid I can't tell you what date that is set, but we'll get back to you.
Well, could I ask, Chair, if when we do come around to getting a date for that meeting, could I be notified of it?
Yes, we'll do that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. 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 Th
business plan from Healthcare for Quarter 3. Okay, we'll take that then if you're happy then to proceed. We move on then to item 5, which is an item in relation to building control, the proposed development, the end of the housing development at the Winnicott and Strong Cottage Road, Kerr. I'd like to pass on to Paul Jackson, please.
Thank you, sir. Members, you have a report in front of you. The licensing section received a request to name a new development in Burn called Carrick Court from a developer, BDM Contracts Limited. That's the name that the developer had proposed to ourselves. In the licensing section, we reviewed our policy and reviewed the existing developments and roads in that area. The Carrick Court name conflicted with part 4 of our policy in that it was similar to existing names that are already exist in the district. The existing names are Carrick Desmond, Carrick Meadow, Carrick Bray, and Carrick Close. So the developer was asked, he was requested to submit an alternative name to the council other than Carrick Close, because as I say, we thought that it was too similar to the existing names in that area. The developer has declined to provide an additional name to ourselves. He's agreed at the licensing officer's view where it does conflict, and he's appealing to yourselves at the committee tonight to overturn that decision. As you know, the officers are obliged or authorised to approve decisions, but we're not authorised to refuse the decision. My recommendation here tonight is to actually refuse the proposed name of Carrick Court because it conflicts with the policy and in relation to Section 4. Section 4 of our policy states that to avoid confusion over addresses, a new name should not be similar to an existing street or name that is in the locality. And nor be this name would conflict or could cause confusion for the existing names. It's my proposal that we reject the name and that we ask the developer to submit a suitable alternative.
Councillor Stokes?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll check them out with Councillor McAteer, who knows she obviously not body well. He agreed that there is quite a number of them that are already on that basis.
Thanks, Chair. I'll say I disagree with Councillor Stokes. This is obviously the town hall of Carrick and around this area. My experience of each are it would be normal enough for the town hall to be integrated into the names of developments in quite a lot of places. Can I ask probably Carrick Gray, Carrick Close, and Carrick Meadow? When those areas were aimed, to the best of your knowledge, how was Section 4 played at that stage?
I would think that that our policy came into being after those names were already in place. Mm-hmm. That our policy is relatively short, you know, it's only a couple of years old at this stage. But it was just to try and avoid confusion with too many similar type names in the same locality. And it is confusing for the emergency services if you know that they can get confused with the wrong place, and that's what we were trying to avoid.
Ollie, is this new development close by to the Carrick Close and Carrick Green and Carrick Meadow?
Not necessarily. I mean, Burn Village is not overly, you know, it's not a large village, as you know yourself. But it's actually on the Plump Fleece Road. So it would be slightly remote from those other three developments.
Chair,
sure,
can I
come
with an alternative
name?
Before the other side,
and
that we do go with the name that the developer was proposed.
Councillor Aldrich?
Thanks very much, Chair. Just in relation to all this, I'm just wondering about states, is the development, is it ready for are the houses ready for sale, or is it at the drawing board stage? Because I know, for example, if we go ahead with the recommendation, I think the houses can't be sold until Final Street, and also the final name is decided upon. That's just what is my feelings on it. And then the variation card, the card closer or something, maybe that would be the Irish border card, this card.
Sorry, Cassandra, to be honest with you, I'm not sure exactly how far on this development is or where it's even started yet. This is, I'm not too sure, so I'm sorry I can't answer that at the moment.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think the officers made the right call on this one, and I think we have a policy in place, and I know that they do get the old address that was wrongly delivered to me, some similar site name, so I can, I first have knowledge of the problems it can cause, so I'm happy to second Councillor Stokes' proposal. Councillor Allen.
Just the general principle of the Council Stokes proposal to do, and in fact,
Councillor Stokes made a proposal by Councillor Stokes to accept the recommendation of the officers, seconded by Councillor Craig. There's been no seconder for the council proposal from Councillor Tinley, it's just that we'll fail then. So then the officer recommendation passed. If we can move on to Councillor Craig's proposal.
Thank you, Chair.
Items 68, which are all within planning, we have the January 2018 Planning Committee Performance Report, the record of meetings and the current appeals, and if I can pass to Anthony about the Nicky Gibson and update today.
Chair, thank you. I wasn't proposing to take members through the same reports again, but I'm happy to take any questions that members may have at this point.
Thank you, Chair. Just a question from history, a number of cases per case officer. I think we're down to 15. I wonder how that compares with other super councils.
Sorry, Councillor Craig, I've just been informed we actually have to maybe bring ourselves back to the last item to actually have a vote on that item. Being advised, so maybe we can park that as a quick question, just a bit back, just for the record's sake. And the last one was the proposal to accept the officer's recommendations with regards the proposed development naming for the new housing development at Trump's Lease Road and Burns. And can I have those who are in favour?
I think it'd be fair to say that the case loads that our officers are carrying would be significantly higher than probably most of the other councils. I mean, there's huge variation in the numbers of applications, the line of applications that the various councils have, and with us being one of the top three busiest departments. Our case loads are quite high. I mean, there would be some councils with half the number of line applications. As long as our line applications sit around the 900 mark, you know, that's the sort of average that we want to deal with. But it is coming down.
Really, Chair, if you don't mind me coming in, I suppose really the purpose of the question was, you know, I mean, I know that we are working the back road down, but, you know, it's just how quickly we're working it down, and, you know, if we are still have a lot, if we're still over the number of case applications per case officer, you know, what is the meaningful end result of it all, but how quickly will we get down there, you know, it's just a great compliment that today that we will make inroads into it within the next year, couple of years or so.
I would be confident that if we're talking about it this time next year, the backlog will be well behind us. Just at this point in time, we have a considerable level of absence within the planning department, largely down to maternity leave and backfilling those posts has been a slow process. But we're about to take on, I think, three more planners on a temporary basis. And it's been difficult to find suitably qualified people, but we have three people joining us relatively soon, and that would certainly, and with people returning to work, that we'd be confident that, you know, the reduction will happen in a matter of months. Kisra. I think we can point to some notable absences in terms of the staff numbers that have impacted over the last number of months. What I would say is the legacy applications, that is the applications that we brought in the department, we are down to about 50 of those applications, and most of those, all of those will exit the system in the next few months. So I don't expect this time next year for us to be talking about legacy applications or in fact a backlog. We have put in the measures to make sure that we set ourselves a target of 750 applications as being sort of working caseload, and in a matter of months, I expect this to be there. I'm really happy with the response that you get.
Yeah, it's nice that the concerns being raised about staff issues and all that, there's something we do need to keep on top of, and there's something that we in the defensive can put in place to help that along, and I think that should be looked at.
Professors, any other questions with regards to planning property, whether you have them here? If we're all happy then to move to your first. Thank you very much, Andre. If we can move then to item 9. And item 9 is the amendment of contractor with regards to the extension of Lockhouse Cemetery. And if I could pass then to the cabin for that issue.
Sure, this is an agreed capital project to extend Lockhouse Cemetery. It'll give us an extra 237 burial plots, include roadway, footpath, fencing, grass and other facilities. All statutory approvals have been obtained. The design is complete with an estimated cost of $170,000, 12 weeks to carry out the construction phase. We have access to a central government framework and we propose to use that framework for this contract, and the recommendations that we would appoint White Mountain to carry out this project at a cost of $170,000, Chair, which includes a 10% contingency.
Councillor Bennett,
that response?
Thanks very much, Chair. In relation to the proposal, the old strategy consultations that were carried out, like, for example, public health and Chapel and Rivers Agency, are they?
Yes, Chair, we have full planning permission which would have included those consultations, and there was a significant amount of work carried out with NIEA in terms of water quality issues, and they have been approved and are included within the conditions within the approval that's been given from Planning Authority.
Yeah,
I see from the report that those will be taken on board, and this is very important that it's done, because just to say, Chair, it's not so long ago, it was at a burial in a different location, and there was water coming down into the grave, and it was very distressing for the family concerned. So as long as we've got on top of that issue, I think that's an important thing as well, just taking care of it.
Thank you, Mr. President. And that's the officer's recommendation that's carried, proposed by Councillor Andrews and seconded by Councillor Burns. And we can then move on to item 10. And item 10 is with regards to ARC caucus, ARC 21 caucus. If I can pass to Liam with regards to the ARC 21 caucus.
Thank you very much.
Did he get a microphone to open the seat? Sorry.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, this is a conference, as you say, it's in the main for ARC 21. It's for the six constituent councils to pick up ARC 21. The title is Adopting a Municipal Waste Service, and certainly very topical. It's open to all councillors. It is a free conference, and really we try to detail a few of my particular relevance to. We have proposed the Chair and Vice Chair of Regulatory and Technical Services, the members of the Waste Strategy Committee, and our members of our 21 committee, I think probably were ready to be notified. So it's really to say it is a short notice. The conference is on the 2nd of March, and it's just really to try and see what interest from councillors to go. We can ring around all councillors and see if they're available, if that's what you wish.
Councillor Stokes.
Yeah, I know I can't go, Chairman, I'm not opinions. I'm not going to do it. I know Councillor Andrews is available, and Chairman's a member of the Chair.
Councillor Gray.
Chair, I'm on the Waste Strategy Committee anyway, so obviously I'm going to tend to go. What I was just going to suggest, Chair, is that it would be good, I think, for all political parties to be represented on it. It might be, maybe there's other political parties that aren't represented on with the groups of it has gone out. I think it's good that everyone has an opportunity to ask a question. I mean, I'd be quite happy to open it up to every councillor.
Sure. I think I have indicated that any of their members who wish to go, it will be covered by them, so all parties are represented on their own.
Just email
me,
sure. Some
of the invitation on that. If we then allow them to get an invitation in for councillors, what do you want councillors then, on the council?
I propose that, Chair.
I propose, seconded, and the analysis is worth that as well. We make sure then that an invitation then is sent out there to all the local councillors.
Item 11, and for item 11, we have a presentation by Mr. Adrian Thompson. But I think Adam would like to maybe give us a bit of context before the presentation.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. As members will recall, a previous report was presented to RTS
that outlined a proposal to review, take stock of where we are with the proposals on the recycling of material typically placed within blue bins, and we have therefore reviewed all options available to us relating to blue bins, relating to glass. And one of the key pieces of work that was outlined in that report was to conduct an up-to-date an assessment basically of which is the most efficient, effective and economic process of dealing with our waste, particularly blue bin and glass. So we have an updated TEEP. The presentation will outline the findings of that TEEP, and then once the presentation has been concluded, I'd like to come back and then talk about the report before you, which then makes recommendations as a result of the TEEP as well.
Mr. Larson, you're very welcome to this committee, and thank you for asking me to make the thing we're going to get the presentation from the phone.
Thank you very much, Chair. Councillors, for the invitation this evening to come present to you on the work that was done. So, my name is Adrian Thompson. I'm an associate with WDR and RT Taggart. We specialise in waste management advice to local authorities. So, we're going to cover today basically what we've gone through. So, what is the council's legal requirements, our terms of reference, the TEEP roadmap, the options assessed, through to the quality of recycling, the cost of service, the impact on recycling rate, draft capture rates, public perception of the system, and then the overall TEEP outcomes and the preferred option. So what are the council's legal requirements? Under Regulation 18 of the Waste Regulations, you're required to separately collect paper, card, plastic and metal, unless it's not technically, environmentally and economically practical. And the collection system must pass all three of those tests for it to be classified as TEEP. So our terms of reference were to review the current systems and the quality of glass, quantity of glass collected, and determine the preferred option based on cost, quantity of recyclers, and quality of recycler. This assessment didn't cover a source separated collection as that was previously ruled out by the council. So the TEEP roadmap comes from the RAP guidance. There's seven steps in that roadmap. Steps 1 to 2 are background information and gathering the information about your waste streams. Step 3 is about Regulation 17 in the waste hierarchy, which is covered by your waste management plan, so as a part of this TEEP assessment. What we're concerned about here is Step 4, which is the actual practicality test on the separate collection of paper, glass, plastic and metal. And then once you've made your decision from the TEEP assessment, steps 5 to 7 are post-assessment and cover your evidence gathering and your re-evaluation of the options. So to ascertain the most preferable option for the collection of recycled recyclables, the following options were considered. That is a fully commingled collection with glass collected by a bottle bank like you do in the legacy bin area. You have a commingled collection of glass collected separately, either through a separate vehicle and pod, or a pod on the back of a bin lorry. And then finally, as you do in the legacy Maria Warren area, commingled collection of putting glass in the blue bin. So going through the assessment, we use 6 criteria to score each of the options, ranks from least preferable through the most preferable. And as you can see there, the fully commingled collection of clean glass scored the highest, with no other option reaching a similar score. So therefore, it was considered the preferred option. And the criteria that was scored against were the ability for the collection operation to divert more glass from the direct bin, the potential for glass to be a contaminant in the commingled stream, the cost of the collection of the service, any impact on the recycling rates, public perception of the service, and then obviously quality of recyclers. So whenever we looked at the detailed assessment, specifically considering the quality of recyclers, at present you have the majority of your population, your households, 57% with a commingled collection of food and glass. There's a wee bit of disparity between the processing rate between glass in and glass out of an external recycle stream, purely down to the extra processing that's required to separate the materials. There is RAP case studies out there, a plant in Birmingham, which is an MRF that accepts commingled materials, including glass. They produce high quality materials in the back end to paper mills in the UK and Europe, with 75% of their glass processed to a quality of glass colour, which proves that if you invest correctly in the processing facilities, you can produce high quality recyclates from a commingled stream. And then there's Less Recycle, an industry source that have an article on a local company, Regen Waste, who have contract with a company called High Five Recycling Group, and they can process 95% of the glass that they collect commingled back to bottle, all demonstrating that if you commingle all the materials and you send it to the right sort of facilities with appropriate processing, you can get high quality recyclers out of the process. Whenever we look at the cost of the service, we've looked at the cost in two different elements. One is the transition cost, which would be your day one upfront cost, and then any potential savings or increases on your annual operating costs. So whenever we look at the option of glass into bottle banks as a collection route, you're going to have to remove that glass from the Murrayan Moor area, so you're going to have education in place there to educate the householders. There's also going to have to be staff and vehicles associated with the servicing of these bottle banks to ensure that they're well kept and serviceable. That results in a transition cost of about £90,000. But whenever you look at the operational cost, there's a slight saving in your MDR processing cost at the MRF because the glass isn't included. But you have other annual costs, such as the staff and the maintenance of the bottle banks. We also did some compositional analysis across Murrayan Moor and Down on the two legacy areas. And we have found that there's quite a high proportion of glass still in the black bin in the Down area, legacy Down area, which we believe is down to not having that curbside collection of glass. So what we feel is going to happen if you move to a bottle bank operation, you're going to potentially have more glass in the residual stream, which then costs you more to actually dispose of, with material then going further down the hierarchy. So what we anticipate would happen, you'll probably have an extra £70,000 in operational costs per year. Whenever we look at a separate collection of glass, and this is using dedicated vehicles going around, and it's based on a 4-weekly collection, which would be a slight reduction in service to your current operation in the Murrayan Moor area, going from 2-weekly to 4-weekly. There's going to be the education again. You're going to have to purchase special vehicles for the separate glass collection, and then issue a glass box to every household. That gives transition costs just over £800,000. So once again, you have savings in your MRF processing costs, but you have additional staff costs, additional maintenance costs for your vehicles. But we believe that there's going to be a greater potential to drive waste out of your black bin, so therefore there'd be a saving on the residual processing costs. So that saving annually could come in about £200,000. Then whenever we look at what was previously considered by the council, which was the separate collection using a bin line with a pod on it. Now this is the cost associated with replacing the vehicles with the pod, so it only considers the actual additional pod cost and the vehicle replacement cost. You'll also have, we estimate about 25% extra collection time associated with the collection crew actually having to empty the bin and empty the box. So there's going to be a requirement for cost of the extra pod. there's going to be extra vehicles required to service the route, plus also dedicated vehicles for assisted lifts in certain areas and hard to reach areas where large lorries can't get. And once again, then the glass box for SUD's household. So these costs come in at about 1.6 million. With then the annual savings on your MDR processing contract, as I mentioned before, but you'll then have an increased labour cost and vehicle maintenance, and once again your savings from diverting glass from the residual collection, bringing the savings in on that option about 127,000 a year. But whenever we looked at that option, we felt it appropriate to consider you can't just create that glass fog system in. You'd have to go all out the first day, so you would have to replace all your existing RCVs that are doing the mixed recycle collection with the pod vehicles. So whenever you consider that, the spend that you would have to make on day one for that change would be a transition cost of 3.7 million. And then, as before, this annual savings are, as mentioned before, the 127,000. And then whenever you consider rolling out the fully commingled collection that you currently have in the New and Moore area to the full district, there's very, very little transition cost there because you have the bins in place, you have the lorries in place. You would only have to then issue education and awareness to the legacy down area. So we believe transition costs in around £15,000 for that. There would be a slight increase in the MRF processing cost because the glass would not be included. But we believe the increase in tonnage, you would get economies of scale, so therefore that's not greatly impacted. But you would then have the potential savings on diverting the glass from the black bin in the legacy down area, which brings the potential annual savings for that option at 260,000. So just whenever you compare those all together, you can see the transition cost range there from very low transition cost for the commingled collection of 15,000 all the way up to the potential between 800 and 3.7 million for a separate glass collection, depending on how it's operated. And then the annual potential savings, we believe bottle banks would actually result in an increase in annual operating costs, with your separate glass collection saving the potential potentially £127,000 to £200,000, with the potential saving about £260,000 for the commingled collection of food and glass. So what's the potential impact on recycling rates? Increased effort to segregate waste is likely to result in poor participation in the misuse of the service, and the removal of glass from the blue bin in the Newry and Mourne area could result in glass in the black bin, potentially reducing your recycling rate. RAP have done some work in areas of social deprivation and increased economic pressure. Recycling tends to receive a lower priority. Therefore, these areas, whenever you move to a more intensive curbside segregation, then there's more efforts required for the council to try and get that on board with the residents. The compositional analysis that we have conducted, we find that there's 26% glass still in the legacy black bin in Brown. We believe that that's down to the lack of curbside collection of glass in that area. That is the potential for about 4,500 tons of glass to match the legacy down to black bin. By comparison, whenever we looked at the legacy Newry and Mourne area, there's 7.8% glass in the black bin. So, rolling the same system between the Newry and Mourne area to the full council has the potential to greatly increase your recycling rates, and we believe could push you over the statutory 50% recycling rate. So, whenever we look at glass capture rates, the validated figures for 2016-17, Newry and Mourne and Down District Council had a glass capture rate of 34%. This is below the Northern Ireland average of 39%. Compared to councils in Ulster, they have a fully commingled collection of pretty glass, and they achieved a glass capture rate of 53%. If we look back to the RPA, provided a league table of councils, in terms of glass capture rate, and all of these consoles have chromated glass collections. And as you can see, Miriam Morn was quite up there at 51%, and my with Dian and Miri together, we're now at 34%, which is sort of evidence that that lack of curbside collection in the Dian is bringing the glass capture rate as a full-time for Dian. And then a key element of this is public perception. So the convenience of a recycling service is key to the success of diverting recyclates from the residual collection. An example, Council of Cambridge City Council, they have a fully commingled collection of MDR, including glass. They achieve a participation rate of 91%, with the most common materials recycled being paper and glass. Their fully commingled collection allows a glass capture rate of 89%, which is very high. And here at Morton Dian, currently have a commingled collection between glass to 57% of households, which presents you with quite an issue of a greater level of service to the Miriam Morn area. And we believe if glass is removed from the blue bin in the Miriam Morn area, it could receive resistance from householders and could ultimately have a negative impact on participation rate in the recycling scheme. This could result in glass not being presented for collection or ending up in the black bin or being deposited in the blue bin for historic behaviours. If it's deposited in the blue bin, it would then be a non-contract material, and then you would have additional costs associated with the treatment of that material. So whenever we look at the key outcomes of each of the four options, the co-mingled option, including your use of bottle banks, is technically practical because you already do it in Dying, but it's not environmentally practical because the amount of glass is still in the residual collection and going for disposal. And because there's an increase in your annual operating costs, it's not financially practical. The commingled collection with a separate glass vehicle isn't technically practical. We believe there's the potential for health and safety issues with the repetitive lifting of the glass boxes and these constantly being emptied. The environmentally practical bit, it feels on due to an extra vehicle during the same round of the existing RCV. So that results in increased CO2 emissions. And as we talked about before, there was quite a high transition cost associated with that. And then the pod vehicle, for the same health and safety reasons as before, it deals in the technical element. We believe it's environmentally practical because it would be one vehicle doing the same route, but there's very, very high transition costs, so it deals in the economic element. And then finally, the commingled collection of glass in the blue bin. Technically practical because you do it in your own urn. It's environmentally practical because you use one vehicle to collect all the materials. And then it's low transition cost and it has the potential to offer the council savings on the current operation. So the preferred option is to come into a collection of mixed round recyclables including glass. Assessed as having little to no transition cost, a low operating cost, ensures a consistency of service to the majority of households, has the potential to increase your recycling rate, and has the potential due to economies of scale to offer reduced costs associated with your MRF processing. Whenever we look at the separate collection options, we're not 100% confident that they could actually fully deliver the same amount of diversion due to limited capacity in the glass boxes and the glass pods, especially during holiday periods. There's large transition costs in year one, and whenever we look at the use of the pod vehicle, there is an additional pod, which results in additional hydraulics, which may have additional reliability issues over standard RCV. Happy to take any questions that councillors may have.
Thank you very much, Peter. And I suppose this is one of those issues which has been coming about now over the last year. I'm sure that a lot of persons may have questions, so if we can try and make sure we get all the things in one question. Adrian, would you like to take a batch of questions at a time, or maybe just question by question?
I'll take a question by question.
So I have Councillor Timothy. And first, please.
Thank you, Chair. I haven't got a question to you because I've already seen the presentation, but just an observation, Chair. The phrase that a washer is up and a question is up is the one that comes to mind. What I've just seen there is very similar to the option 4 that Councillor Stokes proposed 6 or 8 months ago. It has sparked curiosity in the sense that the detail of the information within Adrian's report was information that was no less relevant 6 or 8 months ago when this option was not presented as an option. So I'm curious to know from the officers what has changed, because the decision was taken at this committee to go with the so-called option 4, which is what we've just been presented with, and it was overturned at full council. So I'm curious to know as to why the officers felt the need to revisit this situation. It's probably one for Adam. Can you confirm that the £3 million that was crossed that was allocated for new bespoke vehicles, that is now not a spending requirement going forward? Now, as I often said, I am delighted to see this report, because it's something that I would have been supportive of from the word go. So on that basis, Chair, I am content to propose the recommendation. Thank you.
Maybe I can just let Adam go on that then, please.
In terms of what... In terms of what's changed, as per the previous report before Christmas, we were tasked with making sure that in terms of the option chosen going forward, that we utilise the most up-to-date information to hand. We also were conscious that advice and very strong recommendation from organisations, particularly within the waste sector, were very keen on seeing the separation of glass from other recyclables some 12 months ago. So what we felt was actually we needed to do a new TEEP. The TEEP that we had used was, I think, conducted back in 2015, and a lot changes. And as you can see from the technologies, the way in which waste can be processed now is achieving a far higher quality. We also ourselves set up a project team, and part of that project team was to talk to workforce to understand how a process of collecting waste would actually be achievable on the ground. We also have waste currently disposed of, and the cost of waste, particularly in our co-mingled waste, has seen a reduction at Gatefleet, and that reduction is down to the quality of waste that the contractor is receiving from our householders, particularly Newry. So there was quite a bit that was starting to suggest to us we needed to rethink our decision. So on appointment of the consultant for the team, and on the results of this team, I think that was a good thing to do, which is to revisit the options as presented and come back to members before we implemented the decision to say this is now where we are come February 2018. And I think the position now very clearly suggests we should continue commingling and expand it across the district for all the reasons that have been set out on the team. As for the financial provision for the vehicles, the capital programme as is has a replacement for all the vehicles scheduled within that programme. So actually it wouldn't have cost as much as may have been envisaged in procuring different vehicles at the time the decision was made 6 months ago. There would have been additional costs for vehicles to take into account glass for a separate pod, but it wouldn't have adversely affected the overall programme. So you'll see no change in terms of capital programme, no additional funds are required for new vehicles, and new vehicles are required anyway, as you can appreciate. So that programme will continue over the next 4 years.
We have to start the just to make members aware, I do have a list of 5 members on the minutes there, the list of the are. I think the potluck
Ethan, thank you very much for today's I'm absolutely delighted with it. But can you clarify for me, were you said in the third slide there, the council's legal requirement of Regulation 18 of the Waste Regulation Northern Ireland 2011 requires the separate collection of paper, plastic, metal, glass, unless it is technically, environmentally, economically practical, must have object test. So, nowhere in the original case report that obviously you would have had SIFO, okay, before you made this, did it actually state in any part of that, because I've read it, so we can just confirm it. Did it actually state anywhere that glass had to be removed? Or is it just that they were going by this regulation?
So, Regulation 18 specifically states implicitly the separate collection of each of those streams, unless another alternative collection rate is T. So, you can collect waste recyclables, those four key streams, in a different way, as long as it is T. So, if it's too expensive to collect it separately, then it's not T.
So at no point in that slide, check them back in, at no point in this original one does it state that glass should be removed. Specifically glass. It says unless it's all of those. You could have chosen paper or plastic or metal as well.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, okay. Because we sat here many, many months ago and were told under no certain terms. We're also told that's a legal requirement. And then a subsequent that's not accurate. And I actually feel that repairs are has been misled, it's been varied, it's been a long process, and I actually felt and doubted myself that what I read was not what I read. It was an interpretation of it. Totally delighted with this, but I just feel that we are, as Councillor Tilly said, you know, we could have been here several months ago, instead of we're here now, wherever I am, absolutely delighted with it. I'm glad I had the opportunity to speak with Adam on it, because it has been a bugbear for me for quite some time. And just for yourself, would it not be cheaper to buy the lorries that don't need all the talking and all the dancing and whistles when you don't have to have a separate pot?
First of all, in terms of legal requirement, I think, again, even 8 months ago, the council was being advised by both government departments and the likes of ARC 21 that glass separation was the future, that was the way in which waste had to be collected. And even over that time period, since then, in discussions with the likes of DEFRA and other departmental representatives, the way in which waste is now processed at source by existing companies, both within Northern Ireland and elsewhere, is able to demonstrate an absolute increase in quality and separation. So the collection process has improved significantly to the extent that this tip at this point in time shows very clearly that commingled waste collection is an acceptable route and therefore indeed complies with any legal requirement. And we've had an officer from a government department admitting that the quality is at such a level that they themselves are now having to consider their advice to local authorities in terms of stressing the need to separate, that need isn't now as apparent and as obvious. So that change has resulted in this assessment. As I said before Christmas, I think we need to take stock again just to make sure we were making the right decision. As for the question on the waste vehicles, yes, if we can create a vehicle that collects all the streams of waste, and in this example, we will be able to, the same vehicle will be able to collect blue bin, brown bin and black bin, not at the same time, but separately, then they are the cheapest to procure and to maintain. Because again, with any separation on a vehicle of waste, you have another set of hydraulics, another set of mechanics, and they are prone to breakdown. And certainly in our site visits, when we're looking at this as a project team, that's the one thing that we thought, maybe not, that could have an issue operationally. But we did look at a vehicle that had three different waste streams. So you had three different sets of hydraulics, and they were prone to break down a lot more than ours are. So, yes, it will be a cheaper process.
Thank you, Adam. And I really appreciate this work. So, but I just want to reiterate, the original case report that we went on does not clearly state that you must take glass out. And that's my final comment on it, because that's not what we were told. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. We next have Councillor Cregan, and then after Councillor Cregan, Councillor Stokes and Councillor Gillard.
Thank you, Chair. I think there's certainly a lot of value in having an independent opinion here from Tigers on this, and thank Adrian for his report. I think it makes it abundantly clear economically, it certainly makes it abundantly clear there's really no choice here. The choice is very obvious for us, so I'm happy with that. I would just like to ask, so I'm trying to help people along with the proposal in a second here, but I want to clarify, is there any downsides to co-mingling with the glass and the move-in with regards to glass packages and shredding and the shreds going at the paper product and then rendering the paper product unusable? I'm just wondering what evidence if Adrian has on that. That's better, Chair.
I suppose glass co-mingled really becomes an issue if you aren't sending it somewhere that can actually deal with that glass in the stream. So because you currently have glass in the near M1 area already, if you then move to glass out, we believe that that glass will still be in, but you would potentially be contracting with an operator who couldn't actually physically process the glass as coming upstream. In those terms, yes, then that will have potential impacts on the quality of paper and card. Plus, in allowing the contract that your material includes glass, it then has to go to an appropriate facility that's designed to process mixed recyclables, including glass, and their process is set up so that they can achieve the best quality of recyclates, because it's all about market price. So they will apply the appropriate level of processing to produce a high quality fiber product such as paper and card, as well as a high quality glass. And we tend to call them something there. They're obviously getting their paper and card into European markets, which proves its quality. And they're also getting 95% of the commingled glass that they collect back to bottle. So those elements sort of speak for themselves in terms of the quality of the materials.
Councillor Stokes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think if we cast our minds back to last June, and certainly much further than it is now, the recommendation for the outgoing director that came before us was on a report that we felt was not submitting information on, quite a short report. The recommendation that we stop co-mingling and go with the carry option, Chair, if you remember. At this committee, Chair, I asked a lot of questions around the issues of around the figures that were presented. We felt they weren't very clear, and we did ask questions, we weren't getting satisfactory answers. We felt also, Chair, if you remember, that the issue of the carries in terms of health and safety and how that was going to, the logistics of that being rolled out, how that would really want to work. When we asked those questions, we weren't getting very clear answers. And if you think about it, Chair, a carry is a large bucket which is going to have glass on it, which we were going to ask our staff to have to manually lift from the blue bin and empty into a bin there. And it was almost akin to going back to some houses to younger grandmothers, the old metal bins where people used to have to carry them over their shoulders. And there was huge implications there, and not of us are experts, but we did ask for questions of that, and we didn't get satisfactory answers. Councillor Stafford has already dealt with the issue of questions around commingling, which we didn't get clear answers to. We also poked the issue where we're going to end up with glass, but being put into black bins and reducing our recycling rate. So on that basis, if you remember, Chair, we asked that an independent report be carried out, and this committee, Chair, accepted that, and that was passed at this committee. Now, when that went to full council, Chair, that was turned down. We asked for an independent report, and that was turned down by full council. But Chair, thankfully, I think good sense has come to play, and we have now, we have the independent report that we asked for, and I think we're rolling forward the information, certainly for me, all the blanks are now filled in, all the questions we asked and over here, and all the rest of it, and we say go ahead, and so there before us, and present before us, Chair, I certainly think we've got, actually got it right now this time, and we've made a decision. Thank you, Chair.
Pleasure, Chair. Chair, thank you. There's not really any questions, more comment on it. It's, first of all, I want to thank you for the Forest Report. It's what we should have had a long time ago, and I certainly welcome the contributions, because it certainly made the third option, and I know of others, when we discussed this matter last year, but unfortunately that was a return. To me, this is the most sensible option, and the option that will work better for everybody. And it is unfortunate that we've had to spend this period of time to get to this point, because, like Councillor Stokes has mentioned and others, whenever we request an official bonus, I never thought we were getting full details, full answers that we required to make the decisions that we were required. But certainly I always felt that this was the best option, and I welcome the fact that this report has now confirmed that, and that we are at this point of moving forward in this direction. Because we've already all sorts of problems with the demonstrators as well, things of collection and things like that, they're going to count on that day and day. And to me, what was been proposed was going to further complicate that. And it just, to me, wasn't feasible. So certainly, I'm glad that we're at this point. And I'm holding out hope we can pursue those as soon as possible, because it's certainly the best option I've seen in terms of moving forward.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Barnes.
Thank you, Chair. And first of all, thanks very much to Adrian for the presentation. Very thorough, very well presented, and very, very clear on the outcome. What I would say is there's been a lot of references to casting memory back 68 months ago. And I think Adam said it best. A lot has changed. The information that was presented to the Council 8 months ago was a very strong recommendation towards a different system, and the Council acted on that. Now, thankfully, when others wanted to pay for consultants and spend a lot of money on consultants to come and sort of review that decision, we decided to let Adam, who's come in and done a sterling job, to cast his expertise and independent eye over. It was him on his direction to bring in the second key report, which is very, very simplistically telling us we can only go down one path if we want to technically, environmentally, and economically practical solution. So things that were missing before, I think the costing side of things, but mainly the implementation, how it would be implemented, the rate of that implementation, was certainly never mentioned this before, the staffing issues. I think one of the things that Adam spearheaded, which was very useful, was going out to other councils and looking at their experiences. Some councillors had obviously more expertise in this and knowledge, and had cast shadows about possible breakdowns, two sets of hydraulics and things like this, and that did turn out to be the case, and it was very good to go to another neighbouring councillor and see and then work out what the logistically what would happen if that was the case. And so it was useful. Then mechanical issues. And then also, I think what I was very impressed with Adrian's presentation was how he went into the detail of the re-education of the population and the impact of the population. Because from a council perspective, we make a decision, but then we have to sell that decision to the populace. So all our mandate, all our repairs, they'll come to us asking us why can we do this and why can we do that, which leads me sort of into the next stage. I think we're now at the stage where we know our direction of travel, and it's a change to what we had 6 months ago. We're comfortable that we're moving. What I would ask everybody to temper this conversation slightly, and particularly the press members that are here, if they can please temper what they write in regards to, it'll be 1 year at least before this is implemented in the down area. And what we don't want is, in the period now, we don't want people in the down area to start putting glass into their blue bins. We have a contract with R21, it goes to Bryson House, they can't deal with co-mingling in Bryson House, and we must send our material there. And if we send those that are co-mingled, it will be simply rejected, and will cost this council and the repairs a lot of money. So we need now that we have a very clear direction of travel, we need an implementation plan for doing this. And as part of that implementation plan, we have to think this co-mingled is a brand new contract. Yes, we've extended the contract 1 year to allow us this opportunity to move on, but we have to look at a new contract. Are we going to go as a council to Oxford One, who we're contracted to, and say that we change the direction of travel, and what can you do for us? Or are we going to do what I suspect would be better for us, would be to stand alone and run our own contract? But what I would like to see, certainly, on the back of today's presentation, is that we then now go and do that bit of work, where we go and look and say, right, okay, once the contract's run out that are current at the minute, the contract with Regen here on this side of the council, and then the downside of the council, the contract with R21, the day we actually start doing co-mingled together, who's with, and how do we get to our decision? So I think that's the big decision. Just personally, Adam, I'd like to thank you for all the work you've put in, not just for this project, but in your short time as a director. And I think all parties have been very, very impressed with everything we've done. And I wish your successor all the very best in his reign of terror, long may it last. But we're very happy with the direction of travel and very comfortable with where we are.
I actually have to agree as well.
Thank you
very much, Adam. Has done a fantastic job with both the ground and the freedom strategies, which are two very important strategies that came out of this committee. Without the direction from the top of yourself and from other officers here, we wouldn't be able to this room now where we are, start to meet our targets, where we've improved significantly. And I do think that you are, and your whole team has been commended on that. And maybe another point as well to pick up on, not just going to our councils, engaging with staff members. I think that engagement has been very helpful in driving this forward. And again, as a chair of this committee, I would also like to thank you and all staff if you're involved in this decision here. Right? Can I also allow Councillor Stokes, we want to come back in with it?
Just on the issue that Mr. Chair, I just the associated remark. We're fairly aware when I can staff. I mean, I don't send men somewhere to other people. Yeah, you know, stop me in the street and say, look, that guy's doing a hell of a job, and he actually listens to us. And I missed the money for some other directors as well, but then it's certainly kind of first contribution, which I'm already sure.
So I think that we have had a proposal from Councillor Kennedy, back at the Christmas Patrick, to accept the officer's recommendations. There seems to be very unanimous support here, so I think we can say that their issue is maybe closed. I'd like to thank Mr. Thompson for coming in tonight and giving us the presentation. As has been said by many members here, it was a very comprehensive presentation. It gave us a lot of details and helped us. It was really informative for us, made us come to this decision. We passed the next thing around. I'm sure that the residents in this district will be very happy that you were on board as well, the team. If we can move on to item 12. Item 12 is really considered the minutes of the Waste Management Working Group. I think, Liam, would you like to maybe take us through some of the projects that were discussed in that? Just really for an update to keep members up to date with what has happened there.
Thank you, Chair. Just the report is an only note to get in three elements. The first element, much of what you considered in the last item. The second element is to note a communication grant that we have secured. Basically, the hope is that from the further informed households and how to recycle, further increase our recycle rate. The last item, the waste strategy, will now, of course, have to be updated to take nitrogen decision into consideration. But the steps down the areas of work that we are working on both now and hopefully next year and into the future. We propose to take that back on a quarterly basis to keep the country informed. So, the report is
all happy to go to report.
Yes, sir.
Item 12 is a letter from Ralph, which is given just for looking as well, unless anyone has any issues, I'd like to ask any questions on it. And item 3 of the historic action sheet, you have page 1, page 2, and page 3. Are all happy with the historic action sheet, or if anyone has any issues, do they agree with it? Yeah, that's all for the time. Sorry. That's the topic, sorry.
Yeah, can I just say that last night we had a young 5-year-old who actually put us all to shame, and that with the Live Your Love Your Award, the ISL, he became awarded the winner of the Litter Award. I was recognised by IFL for champion volunteers doing litter things. His name is Charlie Hamilton Cooper, engineering awareness winner as well, along with the Katie Wakefield. So I just wanted that acknowledged on the record there for Ironman 5 doing a whole lot more than what some of our people in our district do. So it was well done. He did, does big cleanups with his family all the time. So what Kevin has introduced the team as a cleanup has been very good and very well received. So it's good to see the team coming from the kindergarten right up. So, and Jill and I do some big cleanups together. So there you go.
Thank you very much. That's good topic for allowing us to see what was happening there. Thank you.
Thanks for conferencing.
Oh yeah, this is a presentation.